Love came down at Christmas time. There's no question about that, is there? I don't know about you, but it's just hard to believe it's Christmas already. Seems like summer should have been here sometime. But anyway, we're glad that God's in control of all those things. Over the next few weeks, obviously, we're going to look at some Christmas scripture and Christmas characters and what the attributes are of those characters, called their character. That God, if He chose a virgin to bring forth His only begotten Son, and if He chose Joseph to be the stepfather of His only begotten Son, then there must be some attributes of those two people that we ought to look at, and that we ought to maybe grab a hold of, and that we ought to make part of our lives. And so over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at that, and you can't have Christmas without looking at the virgin birth and the absolute necessity of the virgin birth. And we'll be doing that probably 3 weeks from today. This morning we look at Joseph. And I've talked with some of you, and you think about, well, there's not much said in the scriptures about Joseph. You know, there's not much said about Joseph, but there's a lot said by what he did. There's a lot said about his attributes and his character. Because as we're going to find out here, I think this morning, he was a man who wasn't of many words, but he was a man of many doings and heartfelt. And I think we'll see that character. I want to read, you've heard it many times, and it's a great scripture, but it comes from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Going to read this scripture again. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which she is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the world from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did exactly as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Could we pray together? Father, we ask you again to bless those words upon our heart. And to let it become quite vivid to us why you chose Joseph. In those short verses of Scripture, Lord, you make it clear to us really the kind of attributes that he had, the character that he had. When we dig a little bit deeper into understanding, when we ponder on it for a moment, why some things were done that Joseph did, we start to see a man of God. Open up our hearts to him this morning. We thank you for that as we come to you in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen. It's almost like Joseph was kind of rushed off the scene. I don't hear too much about it after the gospel messages of the birth of Jesus. You don't hear much about him. A lot of questions about that. But I think the big one is, this morning that we need to answer, is the character of Joseph. And we're going to look at that. Before we can look at that, we have to understand, and probably most of you do understand, when we talk about the Jewish marriage and how it transpired, that becomes ultimate to understanding why Joseph had these difficulties and decisions he had to make. That perhaps they wouldn't be decisions that would be made today in the same light, under the same circumstances. First of all, if we understand what the Jewish marriage consisted of and how it all come about, is first of all, as it's still true in most of the Eastern countries of the world today and into the Orient, mothers and fathers chose little boy and little girl that was going to come together and form a family. In other words, the parents chose who the mates were going to be. And you say, well, that doesn't sound right. Let me tell you, statistics says it's probably more right than the emotional things that goes on today in Western society. As a matter of fact, the records speak for themselves that they're more effective. However, when that person was selected, then they, at the proper time, they went through a religious ceremony, and it was called the espousement. And a lot of people want to compare it to engagement that we know of today, but there's a big difference, and I want to try and make that difference clear in your mind. First of all, the espousement, it being a ceremony, but it was marriage, but it did not include marriage to include the physical consummation of the marriage through any kind of sexual activity. All other activities of the marriage was kind of put together. Usually the wife-to-be went to live with her spouse's parents, and they got to know one another, and they appreciated one another, and come to know each other in a way that, and that went on for about a year usually. And after that year, then the marriage was consummated through another ceremony that brought them together, and so they could be totally man and wife through the consummation of a physical activity. Where we are here with Mary and Joseph, we got to understand is what brought on the dilemma is Mary and Joseph are espoused. She has been living probably with Joseph's parents. And she leaves there and she goes to spend about 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, of course, was pregnant with John the Baptist at that time. And so she went to spend some time with them. The amazing thing is, and this is what created the dilemma for Joseph, is when she returned after being with Elizabeth, she comes back and reports to Joseph, I'm pregnant. Now Joseph knows in his heart, he was a very devout Jew, that he had not had any relationships with Mary. He was very, very adamant that was not going to happen and didn't happen. And yet she comes back and says she's pregnant. Now you and I, most of us, would probably have a reaction that we might go straight in the air. But the question is, how would you respond? Well, I know I would be shocked, and I'm sure that Joseph was shocked, and I'm sure that he was filled with disbelief, and he was probably filled with some anger, and he was probably filled with some frustrations like each one of us would be filled with those things. A very difficult time. Understanding Joseph was a carpenter. He was a construction worker. He might have built houses. He worked with his hands. He wasn't a philosopher. He wasn't a person that had to deal with any conceptual thoughts. I mean, he didn't deal with the real minute spiritual things that might go on with people, but he was a devout man, and he was a righteous man, as we can read in the scriptures. There's one thing he knew. He loved Mary, and he loved her immensely. And now he also knew what the Jewish law said, and the Jewish law said, and he was a devout Jew, the Jewish law said that because she would appear to be unfaithful and came up pregnant, that she could be stoned to death. And he had to give her a writ of divorcement, which meant that even though they had not come together in a physical way, they were still considered man and wife, and he would have to put her away. And many times that was a big public thing. You got to remember, there in Nazareth, which is a small community, and you understand small communities, everybody knows everybody else's business. And there had been a violation of the Jewish law. And so here is Joseph, who has a reputation that he is a righteous man in the eyes of everyone in Nazareth. He is okay. He's an okay guy, but now he faces this dilemma. What am I going to do? He pondered. He went to bed and probably didn't sleep a wink. He was probably one of those nights that you and I have sometimes where we're up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and pondering a lot of things and wondering what we're going to do. He finally decided, according to the scriptures, that he would have her put away privately. What that meant was he would have a divorce. And he put her away privately. He says, well, I'll call on a couple of my friends, and they'll come and they'll witness this divorce, and we'll kind of do it privately. We won't make a big deal out of it because I don't want to embarrass my Mary. I do love her, and I don't want to embarrass her. So maybe we can put her away privately, and I can do that with a couple friends. Well, his feeling was, well, they won't talk. They won't embarrass Mary. They won't spread it around the town. But then Joseph, he had come to that decision, and I said it was his decision. He had come to that decision, but then as he went to sleep, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him very, very specifically, it's okay. Go ahead and marry Mary. Her child is of the Holy Spirit. I told you that Joseph was a very devout Jew and very knowledgeable about Scripture, and he remembered the Scripture of Isaiah 7:14 that said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. The prophecy of the Old Testament that a Messiah would come. Joseph now recognizes. He believed his wife. He wanted to believe her, but how in the world could this happen? And then when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, it confirmed that Mary was telling the truth, and he believed that. But the question I put to you, if that were you, if you were in Joseph's shoes, would you have believed? When the physical was there before you and you knew it wasn't you, would you have believed? I tell you, we see a man of absolute faith of believing God and believing his wife and saying, I believe in you, Mary. We talk about the pureness of love, and that was Joseph. If you can imagine, you had a dream? Well, maybe. Would you have believed? Joseph did. And I question you, if you know anybody else in the Bible that shows faith more than that, let me know who that might be. Oh, I know. You can talk about Isaac, and you can talk about a lot of people. You can talk about Noah. You can talk about a lot of people. We're talking about personal. We're talking about the marriage covenant. We're talking about how Jews come together, and we're talking about a man that kept the faith because he believed in God and he believed in his wife. And he kept it.
He followed through with that faith.
The question always, and I ask this question, why did God choose a man like Joseph? I believe we have the answer. Faithful. Regardless of what the down part is, he was faithful. And God wanted his son to be raised, reared up by a man of faith and trust.
I think we see that in Joseph.
I question many times, why didn't God choose a king so that he could become a king and know the ways of a king? And I guess I've questioned, why wasn't he reared by a philosopher and understand all of the deep things of God? As you ponder this, and you start to see the attributes of Joseph, you start to see a simple man.
A simple man that simply wanted to do what God called him to do.
He wanted a wife that would join him in doing what God called them to do. A man that wanted the simple things of life that God wants us to do, that is to be fruitful and multiply and to raise godly young people. And God wanted a man who would be faithful to do what he called him to do with his son, his only begotten son. So he chose this humble, humble carpenter, a man with humility, a man that had learned humility, a man who had worked with his hands. And if you study carpenters of that day, they were usually poor people, didn't have a lot. Quiet man in Joseph. We see the attributes here. A man that pondered and wanted to do the right things. Didn't want to fail where God wanted him to be. A man that's described in the scriptures to be a righteous man. A righteous man. A man of God. And a man that had a reputation as being a man of God and had not failed. But now we have Joseph. His righteousness is going to be challenged. Think about that. His righteousness is going to be challenged. Because now if he doesn't put Mary away with a divorce, if he doesn't put her away openly, and the Jewish law said that if she was not faithful to him, that she could be stoned to death, Joseph had a challenge, but it turned out not to be a challenge to him at all because he had convictions. And those convictions were to do what the Word of God said regardless. He left the moral values and the righteous things of God become the value system that he was to live by. And he did so. You see, he brought more than theology correctness. He not only brought the theology correctness into his heart and it was written upon his heart, but we got a man here that lived it, as we should. It's one thing to know this book. It's another thing to live it. And I believe we see a man in Joseph that lived it. His righteousness was simple and open. He simply lived a life that was honoring to God. And because of that, God chose him to father his son here on this earth. A man of quiet righteousness. Didn't talk about it much. He just did it. Didn't brag about it. He just did it. And I think that's a good attribute for all of us. I doubt that Joseph was a man that listened to much controversy. Probably said, this is what it says. And if God says it, I believe it. It's a done deal. And that's kind of the way that he dealt with the whole issue with Mary. Because he loved her so much, and because God told him it's okay, he accepted that. There was something that came with that acceptance. There was something that came with that acceptance. Now, he shattered his character somewhat. Because he had a responsibility to keep the Jewish law. He followed what God told him to do. Go ahead and marry her. He wanted a woman that had the same standards as he got her. And I'm going to tell you, I respect Joseph. As I read these scriptures, I come with more and more of a respect for Joseph because he honored his wife. He honored his love. Regardless of what else ever happened, he loved her and he honored that. The great attributes that we all ought to have. It was quite common then, as it still is today in some of the Eastern societies, that, well, you don't cater to women. They're a tool. They're to be worked and to raise your kids. You don't necessarily show them too much love. That's gone too far and that's not manly. Joseph rejected that. He was a righteous man. He was concerned more for Mary. He did not want to put her away. He did not want to see her die. He did not want to see her stoned. He did not want to divorce her publicly and put her down emotionally. You see a man that stood behind her. He was concerned for Mary more than himself. In Matthew 1, verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to the public through disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. That was in the beginning. And then he listened to God. A man that didn't care about protecting himself as much as he cared about protecting his wife. The pain and to cover her and to deal with his broken heart quietly and still protect her. He avoided the shame that might come upon her. His reaction was not what's best for me, but his reaction is what's best for Mary. You see a man here with some great, great attributes. Why do we question? Why did God choose Joseph? God knew his heart, as God knows our hearts, each one of us. Joseph knew that the Jewish world around him was going to misunderstand and not understand why he would go on and do as he did, and that was to consummate the marriage. But to go on to marry her, but he did not consummate that marriage. Let me correct that. He did not consummate that marriage according to scriptures until after Jesus was born. Because Jesus was born of a virgin, and that becomes very important that we'll talk about a couple weeks from now. Extremely important. You know, Joseph was really willing to change. He was willing to change and to do the right things. And folks, change is not easy sometimes. Each one of you have went through change, and I've went through change, and we each know that change is not easy. Sometimes it's very threatening. To go into a new endeavor, especially if you're like some of us that we plan, we organize, we structure, we try to prepare for retirement, we try to prepare for other obstacles that might come in our lives. But then when something else pops in, change is very difficult. If you think about Joseph and Mary, the changes that had to occur in their life to bring forth through virgin birth the only begotten Son of God and bring God's love to this earth through that Son and the changes that was necessary in their lives. If you think about it,
Think about a young couple, Joseph and Mary. Think about them. If they was like you and I when we was courting and we was thinking and we dreamed together and we dreamed about the house, we dream about family, we dream about where we're going to be with family, and we're going to this particular church and we're going to do these things and we dream together. Let me tell you, because of the violation of the Jewish law, it changed all that. Family was not supportive anymore. That's what happens. They were shunned. Think about it. Consequently, whenever Joseph and Mary said, okay, we got to go up to Bethlehem. We got to go do the thing that the government's called us to do. And they left her pregnant, ready to deliver. No support. They left and went quietly. It's not easy to become flexible in life, as you and I both know. But the flexibility that came here is beyond my imagination. It reflects a great man of faith and a great lady of faith that we'll look at next week. He chose to believe the best about Mary. You know, whenever you start to think about Christmas, the Bible tells us that love is the greatest power in the world, and that if you read 1 Corinthians 13, it's the greatest power in the world, love. Greater than anything else. We see a man here in Joseph that loved Mary's, the mother of the only begotten Son of God. He loved her so immensely. So immensely. And God's love is born to a mother and father that has that kind of love. And he is nurtured in that kind of love. As I pondered on Joseph, I thought about, we all need a Joseph. We all need someone that will lift us up and encourage us and bring us along. And whenever we're at our very depths of difficulty, how we need a Joseph to lift us up. But let me take that a little bit further. We all need the stepson of Joseph. And he's available all the time. And sometimes we just ignore him. And that shouldn't be. You think about Joseph and how he had to support her. No room in the inn. And they end up in a stable. When Mary felt down, this is my own speculation, but I can just see a man of this character. When Mary felt down and discouraged, he was the one that stroked her hair back and dried her eyes because he loved her so much. You think about the major part of Christmas. God came down with that good news that was sang about this morning. That good news. The good news of God that he said, I love you so much. I care for you so much. I believe in you. And because I believe in you and I love you so much, I'm sending a Savior to you so that you can avoid damnation. You know, regardless of who we are, somewhere in our lives, there was someone that believed in you. There was someone that believed in you whenever you was down and in discouraged or down to the depths of wherever Satan might have taken you. There was somebody there that said, I believe in you. It may have been grandma, grandpa. It might have been mother, father, brother, sister, pastor, teacher. It might have been someone. But someone in most of our lives says, I believe in you. I believe in you. How much difference does that really make?
Whenever I can say and you can say to someone else and lift them up and say, I believe in you. I want to see the best in you. I want the best to come out of you. What kind of power does God give us to do those kinds of things?
Amazing.
If you ponder the way I ponder, I wondered, what happened to Joseph? You never hear anything and hear anything or read anything about him and the rest of the Gospels about the ministry. Where was he in the ministry of Jesus? And whenever I pondered upon that, you know, I certainly read some commentaries to try to determine if anyone had any speculation on that. And pretty much they all speculated the same thing. And well, Joseph probably passed away before Jesus began his ministry on earth. Can't prove that. Don't know that. But there's something that we can see. We can start to see the attributes that we talked about here this morning. We can start to see those same attributes in the Son of God. Not just God the Father in heaven, but an earthly Father. We can start to see some of those same attributes of how Joseph greatly influenced the attributes and the character of Jesus, as every father and mother should influence their children to be godly people. I believe we see that. And I want to share with you how I believe that you can see that. I think you can see that with the right relationship with God the Father. Whenever a child has the right relationship, as Jesus had the right relationship with God the Father, and how Jesus was sensitive to the voice of God, and how you and I ought to be sensitive to the voice of God, and how we ought to be teaching our offspring to be sensitive to the voice of God. And then as the voice of God speaks to us, how we need to be obedient to the heart of God and what He's speaking to us. We see those sensitive things that Jesus did, believing the best in people, going to the people that was down and distraught, the ones that was in sin, and He still went to them. You can think about Nicodemus, you can think about the woman at the well, you can think about many examples in the Bible of where Jesus went, and He ministered to those people that was down and out. And He encouraged them. He said, I believe in you. I believe that you can do better. Does it make a difference? Does it make a difference? We know that today the world is full of critics. Too many critics. And there needs to be more in Josephs. There need to be more encouragers. I hope we can do that. And the one thing that I came to recognize as I was reading the scriptures and pondering on them this week is that we never can underestimate the power of God and what He can do with a stepfather. Sometimes we think stepfathers can't do the job. They can't do this. They're not blood. I think we have the perfect example here with Jesus. Joseph was a stepfather, but his influence came through loud and clear. Satan loves to accuse us and drive us to hear other things. But I can tell you this morning that I'm thankful. I'm thankful to a lot of people who have encouraged me. And as you review your life, there's a lot of people encouraged you as well. Or you probably wouldn't be here this morning. Someone in your life encouraged you. Should we pass that along? Will an encouraging word from you to someone else have an impact that it needs to have? Will it? That encouraging word for you? I don't know how many of you this morning are looking for a Joseph, but I think we all ought to be looking for Josephs, but we all ought to be Josephs. Amen? I want to tell you, the stepson of Joseph is here this morning.
And whatever difficulty there is in your life, whatever temptation you might be going through, and most temptations are lies because temptations, God doesn't tempt, only Satan tempts. And those temptations can be overcome. And I can tell you, the Son of God will help you overcome those temptations, regardless of what they are. He will grant you the wisdom and give you knowledge of how and you need to move. The same comes with physical problems. We have seen it in our midst of how God, through His power, will heal people, many people, has for years and will continue. He makes every cell in your body and He's quite capable of healing. We're talking about a God that whenever you ponder the decisions like Joseph did, that God is quite willing to give you the direction that you need. God's word says, you have not because you ask not. Why not ask for His wisdom and knowledge and direction? Your spiritual walk. If you have a weariness about you, you don't have to be there. You can have a confidence of knowing that God is truly in control of your life if you allow Him to be in control of your life. How I encourage that. It's only through allowing God to be God and Jesus is God, and only allowing the Holy Spirit, who is also God, to indwell us, to encourage us, to correct us, to guide us, to honor and to bring us so that to the point where we can always honor God in all that we do. When I look at Joseph, I see a man that honored God in all that he did. And he passed along those same attributes that came from him through a man to a baby who was God. I don't think, personally, that prayer is always strong. But I'm talking about it from a personal concept, my own personal feelings. I'm never closer than whenever I can be on my knees before the Almighty God and be talking to Him and making my request known to Him and also praise Him for being who He is. This morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you might come during the invitational time and that you can receive Him. It starts a whole new life because then the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell you that now will be able to correct you and guide you and help you. And sometimes whenever we don't even know what to pray for, He will make utterances for us in the power of His Spirit. So I encourage you this morning, whatever those needs are, God can take care of it, and I encourage you to come to this altar. May we stand and pray together. Father, you are so awesome, and I can just, you are holy, and you are to be honored. And I pray that we will honor you, and continuing to honor you, looking to the character adjustments that we need to make in our lives. As we reviewed this morning the characteristics that you looked at in Joseph, how it become alive to me, and I pray that it come alive to others. And now, Lord, we give this invitational time to you, that whatever the needs are, we know that you can supply those needs. And we pray that you will have your way as we go into this invitational time. And I pray these things in the precious, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We invite you, if you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, come now. Or if you'd like for us to pray with you, there's deacons on both sides of the church. And they'll pray with you, or I'll pray with you, if you want to come now. Thank you.
bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Father, it's my prayer that as we leave here today, we can leave here with a faith and with an understanding as great as Joseph, Father. I trust in you that your word is true and is law. And as we examine our lives, Father, we measure ourselves against your word and not against the world on the outside. Father, we lift you up and we praise you. And I just pray as we leave here today that you'll keep us safe. You'll keep you on our heart, Father, through the power of the Spirit, until we gather back together again. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.